Father, I thank you. The things that you have shown me in my heart this week, that you will put your words in my mouth so that I can speak them to everybody here, to everyone listening, to everyone that's going to listen to the CDs, so that performance and works in their life will be destroyed in every area, so that when people look at themselves, they will only see Jesus and Him crucified as the only true reflection of who they are. Thank you, Father. So there was a battle that began in the garden when Satan introduced his wisdom to mankind. Satan took what God had said and he twisted it. And he has continued to pervert God's words ever since. The good news is that God says that the truth will prevail, and that the enemy's weapons will not win. The truth wins out. You can always tell when the enemy's been around. He leaves his fingerprints. You know what those are? Lies. They are lies. That's all the devil came with Adam and Eve with, was lies. He just tried to destroy the truth of who Adam and Eve truly were, and made them think that who they were was based on their actions and not who God had already made them to be. It's the same truth that the devil is trying to destroy in our own lives. He wants us to think that we're somebody different than God says we are. When Adam and Eve believed the lie that Satan spoke, they threw all of mankind into a system of works and self-efforts that God never, ever wanted us to live under. In ignorance, the church has spent many years trying to teach man that the gospel is you get saved by grace to go to heaven, but then you have to work hard to become like God. You have to work hard to be pleasing to God. And if you don't quit, then you'll go to heaven. That is not the gospel. Satan took God's words in the garden to Adam and Eve, and he twisted them so that they said exactly the opposite of what God had said to them. So it stands to reason Satan is going to do the same thing to us. So what's the Bible? It's God's words to us. So Satan takes the Bible, and he tries to move it from grace to works. Now, grace says God has done it all already. He did it through his son, Jesus. Jesus paid the debt for everything you ever, ever did wrong or will do wrong. Your sins are gone. You are completely forgiven. But when you read the Bible carnally, which we'll talk about quite a bit today, it makes you believe that you are back under works and God is watching you. And he's judging you based on what you do and what you don't do. The Christian fight is not to become a better Christian. Let me say that again. The Christian fight is not to become a better Christian. It's to believe that you already are just like Jesus. Now, there are two ways to read the Bible. You can read the Bible carnally, which means when you read the Bible, you see all the things that you have to do and not do, and that the Bible's all about you. Or you can read the Bible spiritually. When you read the Bible spiritually, you see that it's all about Jesus and what he's already accomplished for you. When I was first saved, I read the Bible spiritually. I had never, ever read any of the Bible before I got saved. But when I got saved, man, all of a sudden, I had a hunger. I went and bought myself a Bible. Nobody told me to. I just wanted to read the Word. I found Jesus everywhere I read. And you know, because I didn't have anybody at the time teaching me anything, nobody told me start in the book of John. I just opened up the Bible, and it happened to fall on Isaiah. And I read a whole lot in Isaiah. And when I did, it's amazing, I saw Jesus everywhere that I read. But within about 1 year, I got focused on rules and what I was supposed to do and what I wasn't supposed to do. And I spent a lot of my Christian life in guilt and condemnation when I read the Bible. Instead of seeing Jesus and what he had done for me, like I did when I was first saved, I began seeing all the things that I should be doing or shouldn't be doing. And I began seeing how I fell short in so many areas. Have you ever read the Bible and felt worse after you read it? Man, I have. It's very discouraging. Now, some people think that's a good thing. They think that that's the Holy Spirit convicting them of what they're doing wrong. But the Holy Spirit doesn't convict us of what we're doing. The Holy Spirit convicts us about who we are in Christ. Did you hear that? I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit does not convict you about what you're doing and not doing right or wrong. The Holy Spirit convicts you of your righteousness, that you are just as perfect as Jesus is, and that God is totally pleased with you. When we read the Bible and we're looking for principles and formulas to follow and what we're doing right and wrong, then we're reading the Bible like it's an owner's manual and how to be a good Christian. When you read it like that, you get guilt and condemnation. When we read the Bible carnally, it causes us to focus on ourselves, what we're doing and what we're not doing, what we have to do and what we don't have to do. And hey, here's the big one. What's wrong with us? I don't know how long it took me, because that was one of my favorite sayings. What's wrong with me? And fortunately, I lived in the house with the pastor, and he would say, nothing. There's nothing wrong with you. It's probably taken me 2 years to be able to stop asking that question to myself. When you read the Bible like it's an owner's manual, you'll be saying, what's wrong with me? And you'll be looking for the answers in the Bible. When you read the Bible carnally, you're looking for principles to follow that make you start analyzing yourself. It makes you look for what you should do and what you shouldn't do. It puts the focus right back on you and your actions. You're reading the Bible carnally when you read the Bible to find out how to be a good Christian. When you read the Bible carnally, it takes your eyes off of Jesus and puts them right back on you. And the focus becomes your behavior and not what Jesus has done. When you read the Bible carnally, you feel like God is watching your every move, just waiting for you to make a mistake. Your Christian life becomes one of believing that God is always inspecting you, looking for every little flaw. I remember there was a little song, and unfortunately, I used to sing it in children's church, but it was something like, be careful what you do, little hands. Be careful what you see, little eyes, for your Father up above is watching down below, so be careful what you do, little hands. Oh my goodness. You know, that little song could have been written so much better about he's looking down, loving you with everything you do, some way, but that was the mindset in the church. And because the church got tricked into believing that God, his goal in our Christian life was just to make us be a better Christian, that's what we fed the kids from the time they were little bitty. When we read the Bible and we feel like God is looking at us, trying to find things wrong with us and point our flaws out to us, I want you to look at this next slide. This is what it looks like. Oh, no. And for those of you that aren't in the building, it's a picture of a parent monkey grooming its baby monkey of bugs and things that shouldn't be there, and the little baby monkey is horrified because something's been found. That's how it feels. That's not the kind of relationship that God wants to have with us. Always focused on us and what we're doing right and wrong. Would you want to get close to a person that's what they were doing to you all the time? Of course not. Of course not. Well, I had one of those experiences recently. I had had a very emotional week, financial challenges, physical challenges, and I was very disappointed in how I was reacting to those situations. Have you ever been there? So disappointed? You start saying rotten things to yourself like, how many years have I been a Christian and I'm still doing this? How many years have I been a Christian and I'm still not trusting God? Some of the situations that were going on were even good ones, but it caused me to have to make decisions, and I was so afraid of making the wrong decision that it just kept me all churned up. Well, after about a week of that, I was awakened up early one morning to the scripture Mark 4:18-19, and it was just stuck on me. I mean, it was stuck on me. And I say it was stuck on me because it wasn't coming to me in grace. It was coming to me carnally and, in fact, sent by the devil to just make me feel a little bit worse. I couldn't get it off of me. It was just stuck there, the guilt and the shame and just the embarrassment that look at where I am. So Mark 4:18-19 says, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." So I heard this scripture in a very condemning way. The enemy said, "Yeah, all your shema isn't doing you any good, because you got so many cares, it's just choking off the word anyway." It went on and on and on. Blah, 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 blah. Did I listen? You bet I did. I was in full agreement because I was there before the enemy was even talking to me. And I just gave in to the more and more guilt and condemnation. I already wasn't happy with myself. I felt like I was a disappointment to myself as a Christian. The hole was getting deeper and deeper, and I was the one that was digging it. Now, I already wasn't dealing well with my circumstances. Do you really think guilt and condemnation was going to help me get out of that hole? Of course not. That put me down under 10 more feet. The enemy had used the word of God to get me to look at myself a little bit harder and see how I was failing. You can always find something you're doing wrong if you look. That's why we need Jesus, right? We're not supposed to be able to do it in our own strength. But did I remember that? No, I did not. It went on and on for about 8 or 9 more days. After about a week or a little bit more than a week, I finally wised up and I began to ask God to persuade my heart of the truth. Because you see, I was at a place where there wasn't anything I could do to help myself. I was agreeing with the enemy. He had used the word against me, and I was just in a really bad spot. I kept saying, "Jesus, help me to see you crucified, and that you are the only way and way that I see who I am in you. How do I know who I am if I'm looking at all the things I'm doing and not looking at you?" And so I asked him to continue to persuade my heart, to continue to get me back to a place where I was looking at him and not myself. God began doing it. He began showing me all the places in the Bible where he loved me, where I could trust him. One of the big ones was trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. When we read the Bible carnally, we are leaning on our own understanding. So God showed me how to read the Bible spiritually. Now, when you read the Bible spiritually, it's a love letter. You see Jesus and him crucified in all the scriptures. You see that the Bible is about him and what he did for you and not about yourself. The most important thing is you begin to see yourself as God sees you, identical to him. When we read the Bible through Jesus and what he accomplished on the cross and through his resurrection, that helps us so we don't misinterpret scriptures. I'm going to share a story from Luke 24. First, I'm going to give you the summary and the background, and then we'll read a couple of scriptures. Luke 24, 15 through 32. This is after Jesus' death, and two of the disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus. They were confused and fearful and sad. They were talking about all the events that had happened during the last week. Jesus joined them on the road and began walking with them, but they didn't recognize that it was Jesus. They began to tell him everything that had happened, how Jesus had been crucified on the cross and buried. Now we're going to pick it up in Luke 24, verse 27. It says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Did Jesus tell them anything about themselves and what they were doing and not doing? No. He only told them about the scriptures and showed them how they were all about himself. Now keep in mind, all he had to show them was the Old Testament. But the Old Testament is all about Jesus also when you read it spiritually. So as Jesus was walking down the road, they still didn't recognize it was him, but they encouraged him to stay with them. That night they sat down to eat dinner, and Jesus took bread and he blessed it and gave it to them. That's when they realized it was Jesus. Their eyes were open and they saw it was him. Can you imagine how excited they must have been? Walking down the road, they thought he was dead and buried. They didn't realize he had been resurrected. Luke 24, 32 says, "And the disciples said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" How did Jesus open the scriptures up to them? He showed them that they were about himself. It's about Jesus. It's not about what we do and not do. How do you have the Holy Spirit open up the scriptures to you like that so that you don't see what you're supposed to do and not do and you only see Jesus in the scriptures? You just ask the Holy Spirit to do it for you. He loves that. That's what he wants to do. It's just that mistakenly we thought we could just open up the word and read it on the surface. And when we read it on the surface carnally, all we learn about is what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. But when you ask the Holy Spirit to open up those scriptures for you, that is what he will do. And he will show you the scriptures concerning himself. So when we read the Bible, we always want to read it spiritually. The Bible is written about Jesus. Every time you read a scripture, you need to keep in mind what Jesus accomplished for you on the cross, his death and burial and resurrection. And what does that say about you? Jesus died on the cross to die away the man that lived out of his own strength and self-effort. That means the Bible is never telling you what to do in your own self-effort. Never. God said the only work that we are to do is to believe. In John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29, the disciples said to Jesus, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Do you see where their emphasis is? What can they do? And they want to work. They want to work. Isn't that just how we are so much of the time? What can we do for Jesus instead of focusing on what he has done for us? This is what Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." The disciples wanted to do something. Jesus just wanted them to believe. To believe in what? That it was all about him and what he did and what he was going to do for them. Now, don't get me wrong. When you believe, you will do. In fact, you will do more doing when you believe than when you're trying to do in your own self-efforts. And not only that, but your doing will be good because it'll be God doing in you, not you trying to do it in your own strength. But Satan had us put the cart before the horse. He had us put ourselves and our efforts in front of Jesus and what he did on the cross. How do you think that's going to work? Who has to do all the work? The guy. He has to do all the work. That's what happens when we read the Bible carnally. We only see what we have to do. And we think we have to do it by ourselves in our own strength. We have to try harder to please God. We want God to see that we're working really hard. And then we judge ourselves when we see bad fruit growing. And we think the Bible is what told us to do all that. But when you read the Bible spiritually, all you see is Jesus and him crucified. You see yourself in him. When you read the Bible spiritually, you realize that everything that is true about Jesus is true about you. Boy, that's a hard thing to wrap our hearts around, isn't it? Everything that is true about Jesus is true about us. So, of course, I have a scripture. You can't just take my word for it. 1 John 4:17 says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." As Jesus is, so are we in this world. In fact, we are so much like him that when we look in the mirror, we should see him. Y'all see God when you look in the mirror? I've been practicing that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now, open face just means unveiled. It means that you're no longer covered by the law and its demands. And glass is meaning mirror. According to this scripture, what do we see when we look into the mirror? The glory of the Lord. So when we look in the mirror, we've got God glaring back at us. Or I should say gazing in love. We're seeing the glory of the Lord when we look at ourselves in the mirror. How is that possible? Is it possible by our good works? No. Is it possible by the things we try to do in our own strength? No. The only way it's possible is that we have been created in God's image. And that makes us a direct reflection of him. We are one with God. When we look into the mirror, we are looking at God. Now, we're going to take this scripture apart a little bit more. It is so profound. "But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Okay, now, I'm going to read this a little bit carnally, and then I'm going to show it to you spiritually. When you see that word changed, maybe not for you, but for me, that told me I'm not all that I should be. I need to be changed. I'm not good enough. For me to have the same image of glory to glory, I have to be changed. God isn't pleased with me. I need to work harder. But the word changed, when you go back and you look at what it means, it says, "Accompany, amid, with which it is joined." It doesn't mean to be made different. Wow. Now that changes that whole scripture. So we're going to read it again. "But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, or joined into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Wow. Do you notice how you go from works and kind of a feeling of disappointment in yourself right into peace and joy and wanting to get close to God? We are not being changed to become more like God. We already are like Him. When I saw that word changed in there before, something should have gone off to me. I'm already like God. Why does He have to change me to be in His image? But you know what? That's not what happened. God had to show me. I'm still in the process. I'm reading some of the scriptures carnally, and I'm reading some of them spiritually. But when you ask the Holy Spirit to show you what it means, He will begin to reveal it to you as it reads through Jesus and Him crucified. If we're joined with God, that means that we're one with Him. We're going to go a little bit deeper. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are joined into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. How does the mirror image of the glory of God take place in us? Is it by our good behavior? Or is it by our much effort? No, it happens by the Spirit of God. It happens because He made us that way. What do you see when you look into a mirror? You see a direct reflection. You are the direct reflection of God. You are the direct reflection of God. You are already like God and one with Him. This is the message that the devil is so afraid of. This is the message that he spends all of his time coming against. This is the message that he sends lies against. This is the message that he doesn't want us to get when we read the Bible. I think the gospel has been so watered down that most Christians have missed much of its message. The gospel is about what Jesus did for us because he loved us so much and how it affects us. The gospel says that you are identical to God. You were made in his image and likeness. You are full of his honor and glory. You were created to dwell in the Godhead. You were created to dwell in the Godhead. If you question that, go read John 17, Jesus' prayer, where that is what he was praying. You are in God and coexisting with him. This is your identity, who you are. It's not something that you work at to accomplish in the future by your own self-efforts. We were created to dwell in the Godhead because we are like him. When you read the Bible spiritually, it's a love letter from God to you. That's how it started out for me when I was first a Christian. Then somebody said, "Let me give you a schedule so you can read the Bible. Make sure you read the Bible in 1 year." That's all it took for me. I am such a works-oriented person. I immediately took my focus off of God and how much he loved me and what he did for me. And I started looking at how much am I reading? How much do I have to read today? How much do I have to read tomorrow? How much do I have to read each day to be sure that I will read the Bible in 1 year? You know, before I got that schedule, I never thought of that at all. Some days I might just read one scripture and it would just flood me with so much joy. I would stop right there and I would spend all week thinking about that one scripture. And it was always about how much God loved me and who I was to him. But now I'm reading the Bible carnally. And when that started, then I started noticing all the things in the Bible that it looks like I needed to do this. Not only did I need to read the Bible in 1 year, but I needed to do this and I needed to do that and I needed to do that. You know what happens when you start doing that? You make void the grace of God, which is his power, and his love flowing through you effortlessly. So I choked that off. When you read the Bible spiritually, that's what you should feel. You should feel God's arms just wrapping himself around you. You should feel that he is so pleased and happy with you. And nothing else. In Matthew 11, 28 to 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Does that sound like God wants us to be working and trying to make ourselves better people? Is that easy and light? No, it is not. So the laboring and the heavy laden, what are those? That's us trying to be better in our own strength. That's us reading the Bible and thinking it's supposed to show us all the areas that we're falling short and all the areas that we feel guilty about. That's spending our life and our effort trying to become like Jesus. So how does Jesus give us rest? He reminds us that it's not about what we do. It's all about what he has done. He gives us rest from our own self-efforts and works. What is his yoke? It's his grace. It's his grace. It's easy. We join up with him. We become one with him. We believe in him, and his grace just automatically flows through us. We learn of him by learning what happened when he died on the cross and was raised from the dead and what that means to us. It says in Genesis 2:31, God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. Do y'all all agree with that? Everything God made was very good. But Satan took something in the garden that was meant for good, and he misinterpreted it to Adam and Eve. He tricked them into believing that the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was something for them to do to become like God. He does the same thing with the Bible. He takes something that's very, very good, uses God's own words, and misinterprets them to make us believe that the Bible is showing us what we're supposed to do and not do, instead of it being about Jesus and what he's done. The church in ignorance has been tricked also. They use the Bible to teach us that we're poor, pathetic sinners, when the truth is we're the very image and likeness of God. The church has taught us how to read the Bible carnally as an owner's manual that is written about us and what we're supposed to do. Now remember, they've been tricked. Just like us, we thought we were being good Christians to read all those things and try to do all that stuff. The church has been tricked also. They're good Christians that love God. Reading the Bible carnally gives the appearance of life. That's why it's so dangerous. That's why it was so dangerous for Adam and Eve. Remember, it says that Eve looked at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and it looked good. Sorry. And it said that she saw that it was good to become like God. When we read the Bible carnally, it makes us think that it's good for us to try and work and become like God. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not in any way saying you shouldn't read the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God, and it brings us life when we read it spiritually. We're going to take a look at another scripture that we've read carnally, and then we're going to read it spiritually. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's good. And is profitable for doctrine, that's good, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That sounds like a lot of work to me, and a lot of correction that I need to get me perfect, so I can do all the good works that God wants me to do. Now, that doesn't sound like good news. That's what we read when we read the Bible spiritually. That can't be what it really means, because it contradicts everything that Jesus did on the cross. All scripture has to be read through Jesus and him crucified. That means that everything we read in the Bible has to agree with the work that Jesus accomplished on the cross. What did he accomplish? We need to realize that as we're reading the Bible. Jesus died away the man that was judged by his actions. He took away all of our sins. They are gone. He gave us his own righteousness as a free gift and showed us that we are just like him. Now we're going to break down this scripture and we're going to see what it means. The first word we're going to look at is doctrine. It means instruction or teaching. What instruction and teaching would that be? It's the true gospel. The teaching that Jesus and what he did on the cross is all that you need. You don't need to work at your own self-effort. Jesus has already done it for you. Reproof means conviction and evidence. What is God convicting us with in the Bible? I always thought it was what I was doing wrong. He's convicting us that we are righteous, that we are as righteous as he is, that we are just like him, and we are one with him. The Bible gives us evidence of who we are in Jesus, not by our works. The correction. That word means straightening up again, to lift up, of rest, and superimposition. What does that mean? Superimposition. I want you to listen to this definition. It is the placement of an image on top of an already existing image to make them become one, to add to the overall image effect. Jesus in the Bible is convicting us and showing us that he and us have become one, that we are the same. He has put himself on us, us on him, and superimposed us together so that we are one. God has taken the image of himself and joined his image with our image. You know why? Because it's the same image. Jesus came down on the earth to show us who God was. Is that right? Yes. Who did he come down as? A man. He came down to show us that his image is our image, and our image is his image. The correction in that this scripture is talking about is for us to have a knowledge that we are truly one with God. We are his image. Our image and his image is the same. The correction is not what we used to think it was, that he was correcting our behavior. The work of God is to believe in what Jesus says in the Bible when we read it spiritually. God's teaching in the Bible is always trying to make that crooked way straight. The crooked way is us believing that we have to become like God. And not only do we have to become like him, but we have to become like him by our own effort and work. Believing that we have to work hard to please God and to become a good Christian. That's what Jesus is trying to straighten out. That's the crooked way. And when that gets straightened out and we realize that God has already done it and our image is identical to his, that gives us rest. The next words, instructions in righteousness. This shows us that we get our righteousness from God, not what we do. Perfect Now, you know, this should have given it away. Can we ever become perfect in ourselves? Do you believe that you have ever, ever, one day of your life, done everything right 100%? I know I haven't. I probably can't even go an hour, probably 5 minutes. That can't be the perfection that God's talking about in this scripture, can it? Of course not. That would be absurd. We can't ever be perfect in our own actions. It is the perfection of God Himself that has been given to us as a free gift. And then thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The works that are being talked about here is the fruit of the Spirit that flows through us effortlessly when we believe that God has already done it and we're just like Him. That opens the floodgate of grace to be able to just flow through our lives. And it is effortless. It is effortless. I probably should hang this around, except I'd have to do it this way so I can read it all the time. Our walk with God is effortless. He's done it all. All we do is believe that, and His grace will flow through us. You know, and I spent a lot of years saying, God, why is your grace not flowing through me like it used to when I was first saved? And He sent my son from Colorado back here to answer that question. And not just for me, but for all the other Christians in the world that are saying, where is your grace? Why isn't it working for me? What's happened is we have picked up the wrong system. And the system that we picked up was Satan's system. The system that says that we become more like God by what we do. And in Galatians, we learn that that makes void the grace of God in our lives. It's still right there. His grace is still right there. We are still one with Him. We are still perfect and complete in Him. We are still righteous in Him. But the fruit that we bear isn't love, joy, peace. It's wrong actions. So the way to live free and the way to be at rest is to just believe. Believe who God really says you are. You are perfect in Him. You are His righteousness. And as you believe that, as you ask the Holy Spirit when you read the Bible to show you the Bible spiritually, show me Jesus and Him crucified. Show me who I am in Jesus. He will open the scriptures up to you. And He will show you Jesus. And the most amazing thing is He's going to show you that you're smack dab right one with Jesus. And everything that's being said about Jesus is being said about you. Now I'm going to give you the DLT of this scripture. So you can glance at that while I read what it says. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is helpful for teaching and instruction about Jesus and what He did on the cross for us, what His death and resurrection says about us, to give us evidence of who we are in Him, to correct our beliefs so we can know we are just like God, one with Him, that our sins are gone, that we will know we are perfect just like Jesus is, not by what we do, but by what He has done. As we believe that God has done it all for us, and the burden is not on us to produce the good works, His fruit will flow through us effortlessly to produce all good works. See how that makes you feel? You feel wrapped up and loved in God's arms. You can rest. You can be free. There's no burden. There's no pressure on you. This is a precious, precious gift from God. Do you want to use it as an owner's manual where Satan is pressuring you to correct your behavior? Or do you want to read it as a love letter, from God to you, showing you how precious you are and who you are in Him. Do you want to read the Bible through the judgment and guilt of the accuser, showing you everything you have to do and everything that you're doing wrong? Or do you want to read the Bible wrapped up in God's arms, experiencing Him fully and Him experiencing you fully? The choice is ours. One brings death, guilt, and shame. The other brings peace, rest, joy, and life. God said, choose life. Choose life. Choose to read the Bible the way He intended it to be. Choose to read the Bible so that you come away with what God is saying about you, who He is and who you are, and not the lies of the enemy. Father, I thank You for Your truth. I thank You that You said we would know the truth and the truth would set us free. I thank You, God, that You are all about persuading our hearts to know the truth. The truth about You, how wonderful You are, how much You have done for us, and who we are in You. I thank You, Father, that it's all already true, whether we believe it or not. But You persuading our hearts so we can believe it, so we can have the life that You want us to have, which is Your life. I thank You, Father, that during the weeks ahead that You will be persuading everybody's heart that hears this message to believe what You say and to read the Bible spiritually and let Jesus open the scriptures up for each of us. Thank You, Lord. Amen.